set me free. Praise the Lord. God bless y'all this morning. Glad y'all can make it out. Just want to have a wonderful time in the word this morning. Let Jesus Christ come and have his way among us. Amen. It's the best thing we could do. Just let him have his way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father. We say it all the time. We're so thankful. But Father, we're just so thankful, Father. We can look around and see where we could be this morning, how we can see where we used to be. We can see how we used to be so bound. We can see that the people around us so bound. And yet, Father, you are setting us free day by day. You're leading us. You're guiding us. And, Father, we see a greater manifestation all the time. Father, we are so grateful, Father. We know that this ends up in a place we all want to be. Oh, we can't wait, Father. It's just so close to us. It has to be close, Lord. As dark as the world is, then it means that light is shining so bright. So we're so grateful, Father, we can come this morning. I pray that you would take this word, Lord, and just make it so real to each person, Lord. Let it be anointed to the hearts that is revealed to us, Father. Not just some doctrine we believe, not just something in our spirit, but something that gets deeper, Father. Something that will reveal Jesus Christ to us, Father. We can see your attributes at work, living, the word living again, Father. We pray for the ones who couldn't be here this morning, you would watch over them. And Father, that you would just have your way this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. 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 I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians, starting in the 4th chapter, verse 15, 2 Corinthians 4 and 15. And we'll read several verses, and you may be seated after that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been raining. Have you noticed it's been raining lately? We went for a while without it. Now we got plenty of rain, and it's hard to get my grass mowed, so that's all right, too. So it always does that, doesn't it? It gets hot, then dry, then it gets wet, then it gets dry. It's kind of a cycle thing. Every year we kind of go through that, so might as well just enjoy it, what you got. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Have a seat, please, and we're going to see what the Lord will speak to us this morning. We want to speak on the thought, a vision of the unseen. A vision of the unseen. And so Paul's telling us here, first of all, he said our thanksgiving should be redound to the glory of God. Everyone should hear us thank God. God should hear us thanking him all the time for his glory. But then it says, For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so we go through these afflictions, we go through these trials, we all know what I'm talking about. And what it's doing, it's killing off this outward man. And we die, you know, we're dead to ourselves already. That old man has to die so we can be born again. But that outward man still tries to affect us. And so what we're doing is every day when you will have a correct approach, your outward man continues to perish. And when you don't continue to perish, it continues to get stronger. But if we will continue to perish, then we are renewed. Our inward man is renewed day by day. So if we do not allow the outward man to die off, the inward man cannot be renewed. It cannot be strengthened. And we find ourselves just spinning a wheel, so to speak, and not seeing very much growth, spiritual growth, because our old man is still too strong, but we got to have him perish. And so if you notice, it says day by day. It doesn't say one time, boom, and it's done. It says it's going to be every day when you get up in the morning and you know you're going to face the devil. Every morning you get up in the morning and you know you're going to praise God. Every morning you get up in the morning and you decide what you're going to do. You decide what kind of day you're going to have. You decide what your attitude is going to be. And you might have a great day. It might be a horrible day, but you're responsible for the attitude. And your attitude determines if the old man is perishing and the inward man is renewed or vice versa. Yeah, you make that choice, and it really just comes down, are you going to walk by faith or are you not going to walk by faith? And then he goes on to say, our light affliction. Oh, sometimes it don't feel very light. Sometimes it feels quite heavy, and it is. We're going to read something that Peter said. Yeah, there's a heaviness sometimes that goes with it. And it's a heavy burden sometimes. But he says it's a light affliction, which is just for a moment. It's just for a moment, and a work of the far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So if we will allow our old man to perish and our new man to be renewed, then this light affliction just for a moment is going to work for us an eternal weight in glory. That's kind of a good reward. So how do you go about it? How do you get up in the morning and make sure that when I go to bed tonight, I know I please God? I know that that old man is perishing. It's real simple. Verse 18. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, this gets me excited. Because I'm gonna go cut to the chase. This is the whole message this morning. If you get discouraged, you're looking at the temporary things. Because if you're looking at eternal things, you cannot get discouraged. Impossible. I said it. It's impossible to get discouraged if you will quit looking at everything around here with these eyes. You start looking with these eyes in here, and all you can see is heaven and glory and eternity and being young and no pain, no sorrow. You keep your face on that. You keep looking at that. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through all this light affliction. But if you will keep your eye on that, then, brother and sister, you're not going to get discouraged. You're not going to walk around feeling sorry for yourself. You're not going to walk around I'm having a bad day. You're going to walk around praising God, thanking God in the midst of your trials. Why? Because you're not looking at all the things that are causing you to feel heaviness. You look beyond that. You look above that, and you look at things that you cannot see with these eyes. You're looking at the eyes of faith, and you say, you know what? I'm going through a hard time today, but praise the Lord. I know one day I'm going home, and there's not going to be any more trials. There's no more sorrow. There's no more sadness. I'm going to be there with my family. We're all going to be young. We're going to be happy. We're going to be shouting. We're going to be praising, and that's what I'm going to look at. You know what happens so many times? We glorify Satan. And we let him know how effective he's being. You know what? You know what happens? You say, Brother Phil, I'm just having a hard time. You know what you're telling Satan? You're really doing a good job on me. Keep it up, old boy. Keep it up, old boy, because you are kicking me in the teeth. I can't hardly move. I can't have any faith. Oh, my goodness. Praise Satan, because you are really strong in my life right now. You might as well just say it, because you're believing him over what the gospel says. Jesus said, through Paul, he said, don't look at those things that you're looking at that makes you say that. So now what's your confession? Praise Satan, he's sure doing a good job on me today. I feel miserable. I feel terrible. You know what he's saying? You demons, keep it up. Pour it on. Put some gasoline on that fire. Make him more miserable. Get him depressed. Get him sad. Remind him of all the hard things he's going through. Remind him how sore he is. Make him feel a little sorry for himself. That's a really great way. You feeling sorry for yourself this morning, you poor thing? You're the only one. I ain't feeling sorry for you, and God ain't feeling sorry for you. You might get your family to feel sorry for you, but what good is that going to do you? Your confession, friends. What is your confession? Well, I'm just having a bad day, Brother Phil. Okay. So quit being so selfish and quit looking at your bad day. And what about the people around you that you're trying to drag down into your own little your swamp land you're living in? That's what we do. That's why we complain to people. Feel bad with me. Come on down here. I am so far off my subject. Feel bad with me. If you just get down here, let's all just kind of sit around and sit in this swamp here and feel bad for ourselves because we're having a bad day. Praise Satan. You know what you got to do? Grow up. That's all it is. You just got to grow up. Quit being a 6-year-old kid throwing a hissy. Boy, that hurts, Phil. It does. It hurts me because I see, Phil, you need to look, practice what you're preaching. You're going to sound like a hypocrite up here. One of the greatest compliments you can get as a Christian? When someone says to you, man, nothing bothers you. You don't have any trials, do you? Because nothing bothers you. You know what that is? You're showing maturity. Because you're not showing Satan, you're not showing anybody else that those trials you're going through, I'm not even looking at them. I'm not paying attention to them. I got my eyes on the unseen, and that unseen says that everything's going to be okay. Ain't that powerful? My. Proverbs 29 and 18, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So what is that vision? It's the revelation. It's the revelation that God has for your life. It's the revelation the ministry has for the church. It's the revelation that God has for the bride. And it's something that he reveals to you, and you must have that own vision that you know that God has a purpose for your life, and he's revealed it to you, and then you focus on that vision, because that vision is looking at the unseen. Because if I just look at this old flesh and this old body, my vision gets really short real quick. But if I can look at what I'm heading for, and I can see what's going on, then all the stuff that goes around me is not going to affect me the way Satan wants it to, because my eyes are not on that. My eyes are, God has told me I have a purpose. That purpose is to do this and this and this, and all I do is just keep focus on that purpose, that unseen vision, the vision, and I just keep focusing on that and look at that, and you keep walking in that vision, and brother and sister, there's one result you're going to get. I guarantee you, you're going to go into rapture. Now what more do you want? Well, what about this, and what about this, and this person hurt my feelings, and this person said this about me, and my boss don't like me, and my kids can't stand me, and oh, my goodness. Okay, focus on that if you want. That's all temporary. It's all temporary. It goes away. My goodness. Why are we going to be so influenced by things that are going to go away, and if it goes away, it means it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, Brother Paul hurt my feelings. It doesn't matter. You can try to hurt him back or you can ignore it. How grown up are you going to be? Well, I can hold a grudge. Yeah, that's really adult. All right. So, day by day. You say, well, I don't even know my vision. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Your vision brought you to church this morning. You say, well, that's all I'm seeing. Well, then walk in that. And when you leave here, God's going to give you the next thing to do. And sometimes he don't tell you a long ways off what the long-range vision is a lot of times as far as particular things in our life. But he says, you know what, take that next step. Well, what's the next step? Tomorrow I go to work. What I have to do after that? I go home from work. All you got to do is just keep focus on what God wants you to do. And sooner or later, he's going to show you what more he wants you to do. Long time ago, he said, hey, I want you to preach. And so that's been part of the vision, is when God asked me to preach, I get up and preach, whether I want to or not, whether the people want me to or not, whether I like what I have to say or not. God gave me a vision, and that is keep focus on what he wants me to do and preach the word he gives me. Sometimes I sit there in the pew, and sometimes I don't like what's being preached. You know what I can do? I can sit there and resist, or I can say, God's in charge of this, and whatever's coming across the pulpit is a need for me. I'll go ahead and accept it. Brother and sister, that's all you can do. Keep your eyes on the eternal things instead of all these little stuff that affects us. The whole world is chasing after their feelings. That's what it means. That's why they got to the place they've gone to, because their absolute is, how do I feel? I feel this way. I feel like I'm really a pony. Okay. I don't identify as male or female. I'm non-binary. I identify as something else. Okay. Well, friends, we look at that. Well, that's crazy. They're letting their feelings be their absolute. Can I cut a little bit? When you sit there and feel sorry for yourself, you're doing the same thing. How can you look down on them when we do the same thing? Ain't that powerful? It sets us free is what it does. It sets us free, because when I feel that feeling coming on, I start, that feeling try to get me to, I'm going to sit over here by myself. I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to pout a little bit. I'm identifying as a paddle. What's that difference than identifying as a pony? It's still identifying by your feelings. I'm not a pony. So friends, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let me read out of 1 Peter 1. Verse 7, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So what did he say? The resurrection of Jesus has bought for us, his death and his resurrection has brought for us an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. This is our vision, friends. Whatever you're going through, keep your eyes on that vision. This is what God did for us. This is what he called us to. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has purchased this for us. And if we can just keep focusing on the eternal, the things of the world are not going to be quite so important to us. What are we focusing on? Reserved in heaven. It's unseen. We haven't seen these things. We see the effect in our lives. We know we're headed there. We see the word being made manifest. But all this incorruptible stuff, we don't see it yet, because what we see with our eyes right now is all corruptible. Everything you can see with these eyes is corruptible. Unless you see Christ in somebody, that's the only thing that's not corruptible. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. So who kept you? See, that's why we get discouraged sometimes, because we're trying to keep ourselves. We are trying to, well, if I can just live good enough, I can just do this. I know I get this all the time, but it's one of the main spirits, this legalistic spirit that affect message believers. And, well, you got to believe it this way. You got to do this. You got to do that. Friends, if you're trying to be a Christian by keeping the law, get born again already. You got to get way beyond that, friends, because all you can do then is look at yourself, and you're gauging yourself and you're judging yourself by looking at something that's temporary, because what you can see of me right now is temporary. What I can see is temporary. That is not the body that's going to live eternally. And I can look and say, well, you make this mistake and you make that mistake and I make this mistake and I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that. I'm looking at temporary things. Oh, my. It's temporary. Satan says, well, you're addicted to that, and you can't overcome that, and you can't overcome that. It's temporary, because, yes, you will overcome it. If you haven't done it so far, you're going to get to the place where you put your foot on that for the last time and say, this temporary addiction is dead to me. How'd you get there? Try harder. You don't try harder. You believe. He said you're kept by faith, not by your efforts. Kept by the power of God through faith. His power. It's him doing it. You just believe that he's going to accomplish it. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's when it's made visible, friends. We're going to see that it's all going to be revealed. And after a while, we're not going to walk by faith anymore. We're going to walk by sight. And that sight is, I have a new body, and you have a new body, and we're living eternity. And there's nothing temporary there. Everything there is permanent. Wow. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So what does he say? We're going to have seasons of heaviness because it's needed. We need to go through hardships and trials and temptations. You know, you know, sometimes we think, well, what is this temptation? I'm not tempted by this. You know, I don't tempted by that. How about being tempted by your feelings to feel a certain way? That's some of the worst temptations we have to struggle over. Well, I'm just tempted to feel bad for myself right now. Well, I'm just tempted to have an attitude towards someone right now. I'm just tempted to, it's a feeling that's tempting you to feel a certain way. Well, don't give in to that temptation. Resist that temptation. Satan will flee from you. When he knows that you're not going to give in to that temptation, and he hits you again, you don't give in to it. He hits you again, you don't give in to it. He said, well, that ain't working. I got to try something else. And the next thing you know, he said, you know what? That feeling I used to be, that used to just haunt me, It ain't doing it anymore. Why? Because Satan recognizes you've overcome it. You're not a slave to that feeling. You don't have to do it, friends. You do not have to give in to those feelings and those thoughts and all that, and so that you become addicted. Well, I just have a problem with self-pity. Well, that's your choice. Don't give in to the temptation to feel sorry for yourself. That's a choice you make. But I feel it. I'm feeling it. Well, just ignore it and think of something else. Start praising God instead of praising yourself, because that's what you're doing. When you give in to self-pity, you are worshiping your old self. It's a self-worship. When I take a thought that's not worshiping God, I am worshiping myself. Well, I want to feel this way. Boy, this is not going the way I thought it would, but that's okay. Heaviness. We're going to endure heaviness. You say, well, how do you have a good attitude? How do you feel good about when you're going through a heaviness, a hard trial? I didn't say you're going to feel good. I didn't say you're going to feel good. I said ignore your feeling and focus on the eternal things. Yeah, you're going to feel bad. You lose somebody, a family member dies, or someone's sick, you're going to feel bad, friends. You're going to have heaviness. I'm not saying you're not going to feel that, but what are you focusing on? Is that going to control you? Are you going to be a slave to that feeling? Or are you going to look at the eternal and say, one day I'm going to be there. One day this is going to be over. One day this temporary trial is never going to be here anymore. This sadness I feel, the grieving I feel, is all temporary. It goes away. You might deal with it for 50 years, but 50 years is a very short time. Just ask some of these people who are really, really old in here. 50 years goes by like that. It does. It ain't nothing compared to eternity. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your trial, much more precious than gold that is temporary, it perisheth. Friends, ain't nothing on this earth to die for. There is nothing here, friend, to live for. It's live for Christ. Live for eternity. Quit being influenced by all the junk around it. Well, you say, well, look around you. Look how dark. Look how perverted. Look at our politics. Look, yeah, absolutely. I do. Look at all that stuff. Don't be a slave to it. Don't be controlled by it. I get so depressed when I look at our politics. Well, that's your choice. You don't have to. Don't let it affect you that much, but it's so sad. It is sad, but what are you looking at? You know what? That's all going to go away. Focus on where you're headed. Focus on what's ahead for you. Focus on the fact that you have eternal life currently living in you if you're born again. You currently are the possessor of eternal life, and Satan can't do anything about that. Neither can Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. They can't do anything. They can destroy this country. They can't destroy your soul. Oh, my, don't get so tore up about this stuff that's just temporary. It's all got to be here. The prophet said it's going to be here. I don't know if I didn't watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Paris, but I heard yesterday that it was some of the most disgusting, vulgar stuff that was ever put out. If you haven't heard, I'm just going to be blunt. They had the Last Supper. I can't hardly say this. They had a scene of the Last Supper, and Jesus and his disciples were drag queens. That's where we have come to in this world. That hurts my heart. That makes me feel just so disgusting for humanity. What have we done? I am not going to let that drag me down. I'm going to ignore the Olympics. I couldn't care less about the Olympics anymore. But my focus, that's not going to depress me. It's not going to discourage me, because my eyes, I see it's got to be here so that the iniquity of the Amorites is full, so God is just in pouring the judgment on them. But I'm not going to be here for it. I'm going home. I'm going home.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let me switch direction just a little bit, but I'll bring it back into to fit up with this. John 15 and 16, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Well, that's enough right there to get you shouting. I didn't choose him. He chose me. He saw me in the midst of all my mess. I was the most emotionally enslaved person I've ever known, just completely depressed and just miserable and everything, couldn't accomplish anything. But he said, "But I chose you out of that mess. You were down there swimming in that muck, in that mud, in that swamp. I chose you. I brought you out of it." He said, "And then I ordained you." What does ordain mean? He says, "I gave you a purpose. I have chosen something for you to do." What was that? That you should go and bring forth fruit. Praise the Lord. There is a reason that God has chosen you, for you to bring forth fruit. And then he says, "And that your fruit should remain." Oh my, it's permanent. It's permanent. The fruit of the Spirit is permanent in your life. It cannot go away. It's going to be with you for eternity. Brother and sister, that fruit that remains is not the fruit, I think I mentioned this Thursday night, it's not the fruit of Wayne Roberts, it's not the fruit of Jim Horner or anyone else. It is the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are permanent. They don't go away. Now, you might kind of push them down, and you might give in to your own nature, your old something, and show something that kind of counteracts that fruit of the Spirit, but it's still there. And as soon as you get over your old bad self, that fruit of the Spirit is going to come back and show itself. But if it's just you trying to live it, which is what most Christians do, I'm supposed to be a good person, so I'm going to be patient, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to love people, I'm going to be long-suffering, and that fruit spoils really quick. Because when the pressure gets too much, when the heaviness gets too much, and you give in to that heaviness and that temptation, that pressure, and you snap at somebody, it's because why? You're still living on your own fruit. You're living on the fruit you can produce yourself. Yeah, I'm living on the fruit of Phil Bontrager, but when I can perish to this old man, the fruit of the Spirit manifests itself, and you know what he does with love? He loves everybody. You know what he does with patience? It's as long as a whole outdoors. You know what long suffering is? It's I can go through my trials without whining and crying about it. Amen. That's what it means. He says that fruit remains. We're not just some put-on Christian. We're not just some crow trying to put white dove feathers in us. But we are growing the original feathers. We are a dove by nature, and that nature will produce itself, and it'll show that you are a Christian by nature. And that produces the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of the Spirit. Then what are you looking at? How does that go along with what I'm saying? Focus on what's the fruit of the Spirit in your life instead of the hard things, because sometimes you need to just go ahead and look at yourself and see what Christ is doing. Admit to yourself, you know what? I really am a born-again child of God. Then what in the world am I going to get depressed about? What am I going to get tore up about? What am I so anxious about? Because I'm focusing on the temporary things affecting me. That's all it is, friends. Focus. When we get anxious or fearful or nervous or frustrated, it's because we're looking at temporary things. It's impossible. I'm going to say it again 100 more times. It's impossible to get discouraged and tore up if we will focus on the eternal things. Well, Brother Branham got tore up about, yeah, he did. You know why he did? He was focusing on temporary things. You can't say that about the prophet. You can't if you allow him to be a human being like we are. You want to make a God out of him? Fine. You know what Jesus did? Jesus sometimes looked at the temporary things and he didn't like it. He said, "Oh, I don't want to go through Calvary." Calvary was temporary. That's powerful, friends. The suffering is temporary. The suffering is temporary. Even if you go to hell, hell is temporary. But you don't have to go there. He He said, the fruit would remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's what it's about, friend. So that we have that faith to believe who we are, not on our own ability. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. What does that mean? You crucify the soul man, it perishes, so the fruits of the Spirit can manifest themselves. That's all Christ is asking for us. That's all he's asking for us. Crucify your old flesh with your lust and your affections so that I can manifest my Spirit, my fruits through you, which is what he just said. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. You can't focus on the temporary things and walk in the Spirit. Impossible. Impossible. When the Spirit produces fruits, it remains. It does. So then what is it? Our fruit is our identification. Matthew 7. Let's try to drink that. Matthew 7, 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. He said, well, I know a lot of really good people. They're not even Christians, and they have good fruit. They do, but it's, you know what? It's still corrupt. Why? Because it's their own ability. It's still their own ability. I'm not saying anything bad about that. They should not try to be a good person, but it's still temporary. It's temporary. It's going to go away. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You say, but I live a good, you know, I'm doing a good, but then sometime I fall and I bring forth corrupt fruit. Brother and sister, what that's saying is, yeah, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to have all kinds of problems like that, but the good tree, the nature inside of you, will not bring forth bad fruit. That nature inside of you, and sometimes we overwhelm it, you know, in our mind, we get all torn about something, and we manifest something that's not good fruit. But the nature, that tree inside, is not going to bring forth bad fruit. So all you have to do is die to the old self, crucify that old nasty thing, and let the tree, that nature inside, bring forth the fruit that's sitting there. It's not, you can't make it say something else. Well, sometimes I do good, sometimes I go bad. Recognize that's your good nature and your bad nature fighting. It's the white dog and black dog fighting, and the white dog cannot bring forth bad fruit, and the black dog cannot bring forth good fruit. Well, it can be religious, but it ain't the same thing. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Friends, that's how we know Christians. That's how we know our brothers and sisters, because we see the nature of Jesus Christ in there manifesting itself instead of the old nature. And sometimes we see a brother or sister, and we know they're Christian. We know they're born again, and yet we still see them manifesting something wrong. It's really simple, friends. It's the simplest thing in the world. It's because they're focusing on the wrong thing. They're looking at the seen instead of the unseen. They lost their vision. And that says when the people lose a vision, without a vision, you perish. That's why so many people have walked away from the message, because their vision was just a religious vision, just a theological vision, and they looked at that and they lost that vision. Well, Brother Branham made this mistake here, he said this mistake, and he had this problem, that problem. And so what happens? They lose the vision and they walk away. They walk away and they're done. So now I want to come to a very important part. I mentioned it earlier. You don't get to choose your vision. You don't get to choose your purpose. You might even know what it is by the word, but until that's quickened to you by revelation, you still don't see it right. Because the reality is, if we knew the vision God has for us, most of us would really not like it. We would rebel. Look at the things you've been through. Look at the loss you suffered. Would you accept that? You say, no, I don't want that. So sometimes he don't tell us ahead of time. You don't tell us ahead of time, because look at the things, every one of us, the suffering, everything that we've gone through, the hardships and all that. That's the vision God had for your life. He wanted you to go through that to produce that gold that perishes not, to have that witness, to have that permanent something, that deposit that keeps you focused on the eternal. Sometimes he makes this life so miserable that we have to look at something else besides the things around us. Otherwise, we'll just get tore up. You got to look above it. Life gets too difficult. The burden is too heavy. How many of you would choose the things that you've gone through? I wouldn't. But see, you got to recognize this is what God has for you. Let's look at Moses. Brother Bram's talking about Moses. He said Moses knew intellectually that he was the deliverer. But when he thought the children of God would understand him when he slew the Egyptian, the first little rumor come up, he wasn't persevering at all. Just before it even got to Pharaoh, he took for the desert because he wasn't persevering. He wasn't too sure. So what happened? Moses had been taught by his mom, you're the deliverer. And he grew up knowing, I'm the deliverer. But when the trial came, all he could do is focus on the temporary stuff around him. Oh my goodness, Pharaoh's going to kill me. Well, friends, if he's delivered, Pharaoh couldn't have killed him. Here's the problem. Brother Bram said, he just knowed it from the word standpoint, the promise. He said, well, it's the word. Yes. It was the word. It was the promise. He knew he was supposed to be. He knew what the word says about him. His mom had taught him this when he was growing up. The problem was, it was just intellectual. It was just in his head. And he knew the vision that he was supposed to have. But as long as it's just in your head, Satan's going to come and he's going to kick that right out of there. Because it's not down in your heart. You got to have it in your heart. Otherwise, you're just a message believer because you believe the message. Why believe the message? That's the same problem Moses had. Sure, he did. He believed the message for his hour. The message for his hour is that he's the deliverer. But it didn't hold him. Why not? Because he had never had it revealed to him. So what happened? One day he saw a bush that was on fire, burning, did not consume. So Moses took one up the mountainside. Sitting back in that bush was a big pillar of fire that was to lead him the rest of his days. And this pillar of fire spoke out a voice. Brother and sister, that is what every one of us must have. That is what we call the new birth. You must meet that pillar of fire. It must speak to you. And when it speaks to you, it gives you a vision for your life. And the initial part is you are chosen. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I ordained you to go bring forth fruit, and that fruit's going to remain. So you might as well just start focusing on that, because the rest of your life ain't a hill of beans compared to that. And I'm going to take away that hill of beans if you focus on that hill of beans, because I need you living for me, manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. You got to hear that voice personally, and it gives you your vision. It gives you what to focus on. It gives you your purpose in this life. And until you hear that personally, all you are is just believing the dead letter of the word. You can see it in your life, friends. People that they claim to be the message, they're in a lick of power in their life. They're just a good person. They're just a nice person. They go to church. They believe what the pastor says. But there's a lack of life. There's a lack of revelation. There's a lack of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. And they can put on a good life around people, but you can see there's something missing. There's something missing. Why? They can't get their eyes off the stuff around here and on Christ. Oh, it's so sad to see, because they're good people. I just lost my... Here we go. He said, that voice spoke, said, I have seen the affliction of my people, heard their groanings. Remember my promise to Abraham. I'm come down to deliver them. Now go down there. He said, I've come down to deliver them. Now you go and deliver them. I'm sending you. That was the vision. You talk about perseverance. He walked right up in the face of Pharaoh and said, let them go. Why? He had talked face to face with God. He had got his commission. Brother and sister, every one of us has to get that. Now, it's not going to be like that. He's not going to send you with a stick to go take over some nation somewhere. You know what he's going to do? He said, you go to the church I send you to go to. You sit under the pastor I give to you. You be nice to the family I give to you. You work the job I give to you. And you pray when I tell you to. You worship when I tell you to. And be led by the Holy Spirit. That's as simple as, what more do you want? And you have two people doing the exact same thing, one by revelation, one by just a doctrine they believe. Just a religion. And one goes in the rapture, the other doesn't. You say, well, what was wrong? I was doing the same thing. No, you weren't. You never met the pillar of fire. So Moses had an intellectual vision based on what he had been taught. And it was correct. It was absolutely right. But until it was quickened to him, he did not have that perseverance. He couldn't walk by faith because the faith hadn't been revealed to him. After he was at that bush, all Moses could see after that was the unseen vision. And that all he could see was Israel in the promised land. And that was his vision. He said, Israel's going to the promised land. I'm going to lead them to the promised land. Everything that stands in my way, they're going to have to get out of the way because my vision is they're going to the promised land. Brother and sister, my vision is I'm going in a rapture. My vision is there's a table, that long table, and there's a chair at that table, and it's got my name on it.
Amen.
I'm going to sit down at that table. I'm going to look across that table. I'm going to look sitting beside me. I'm going to see you folks sitting there. I'm going to say, look at that. And you're going to say, Phil made it? Sorry, but I'm here. I might surprise some people to see me there, but that's okay. I'm going to be there. Why? Because that's been revealed to me. Oh, my. I don't have a vision of something I made up myself. Well, I want this and I want that. God has revealed these things to me. I know I'm going in a rapture. He told me. I know I'm going to be sitting at that wedding supper. He had told me. I'm going to be going to that city, the eternal city. He has shown me that I'm going to be there. Brother and sister, you need to have that same vision. What does God have shown for you? What has he done for you? What has he done for you? What has he showed you? What is the vision he has? Has he told you you're going in the tribulation period? Has he told you that you're not one of his? What has he showed you? Because a lot of people walk around like, I guess I'm going to the tribulation period because I'm sure not born again. And yet they don't do anything about it. They just seem to accept it. Is that what God has shown to you? God have mercy. No one here needs to do that. No one here has to go through that. It just, if you can accept it. And yet, if he hasn't chosen you for it, brother and sister, you can't choose yourself. You can be saved. You can be saved. I'm not going into that right now, but it's still the truth. So I'm going to read out of Hebrews 11. What happened after Moses got this revelation? What was his vision after that? Hebrews talks about it. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, by revelation, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He said, I am not going to focus on the temporary things. I have the whole world. I could be the Pharaoh of Egypt. I could get anything I want, have the most powerful nation in the entire world, and I could have that and enjoy it for a season. He refused. He said, I'd rather suffer with the people of God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What was the recompense? It was the unseen. He couldn't see it right there, but he knew that there is something greater than Egypt could offer him. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There you go, friends. What are we looking at? Are we looking at that which is invisible, or we look around and say, yeah, but I really want this, and I really want that, and I don't like this, and I like that. And brother and sister, when you focus on the temporary, you're going to live a temporary life. That's all you got. Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This is the problem we have. We get a vision, we start walking with the Lord, and then the troubles come, the heaviness comes, and we lose our focus on the vision because it didn't happen when we wanted it to, how we wanted it to happen, where, and all these things, and we have to start walking by faith, and that heaviness is hard, and the temptations are hard, and we lose our sight of the vision instead of like focusing on that and let it come to fruition, because it will come, it will not tarry. But when you lose sight of it, then all of a sudden you're walking around defeated. How many people lose their healing? How many people lose their deliverance? How many people are addicted to something? I can speak from experience. You're believing something, but it doesn't happen the way you want it. That deliverance doesn't come when I want it to, so I lose my vision of the promise, and I start focusing on myself again. Start getting discouraged. I just don't know if I'm ever going to overcome this. I just really struggle. God, what's wrong? And he's sitting back there like, how often do I have to tell you? When are you going to start believing what I've told you? Keep your eyes on the vision instead of the mistakes you're making. I mentioned this several times. I'm going to say it again. I have always struggled trying to. The way I was raised is you just got to try really hard to be a good person. And then maybe you can make it in the tribulation period or die. And that spirit afflicted me my whole life. When I came to the Lord, it still afflicted me. And one time I was sitting right there in that pew, and Brother Jerry got up and he started preaching on quit looking at your flesh. And sometime, you know, God speaks a still small voice, yeah, and you just really know it. God was not speaking a still small voice. It was like he was right in my face and he was screaming at me. Would you stop looking at your flesh? Ignore it. And I heard the voice. That has stayed with me. And every time I start getting discouraged because of mistakes I make, you know what comes back to my mind? What did I tell you? And I'm not talking about Brother Jerry Howard. I mean, it was God. He was a father, and he was in my face. And he said, I told you to quit looking at your mistakes. And I do, and I feel like a hypocrite, but God, look what I'm doing. He cuts the eyes at you. You know what it is? Daddy cut his eyes at you and say, what are you doing? You're embarrassing me. I embarrassed him. Said, look at this. And Satan's over there just laughing. Look at your child. He's over there looking at his flesh when you told him not to. What are you looking at, friends? There's a promise. That promise, when it's been revealed to you, that's an eternal promise. You can take the Bible and pick a scripture here and try to believe that, but when that scripture, when it's time for you, God will take that scripture, he'll quicken it to you, and you keep your eyes on that. But I'm going through some hard stuff. You're supposed to. It's for a season, and it's temporary. Don't you dare get discouraged. Stay focused on the unseen. Look at yourself. What's holding you? What's keeping you here? What did Paul say is keeping you here? It's by the power of Peter. But it's by the power of God in faith. All you have to do is say, recognize that if you're still here, you're going to this church, there's something holding you beyond your own ability. There's something that's having an effect on you. There's something that is greater than what your ability to keep yourself, to live right, is greater than your ability to live, to produce your own fruits, to keep yourself a good Christian, to live a good life. There's something that's holding you. It keeps bringing you back. Keeps bringing you back. It keeps you here, friends. What is it? It's the very Spirit of God within inside of you. He said, would you focus on the vision? Focus on what I'm doing. Recognize that it's not you. It's an eternal aspect to it. Examine yourself. Check up on yourself. What is it? What's having the effect in your life? I had a thought. Mowing the grass Saturday in the rain, and thought come to me. What if y'all have a guardian angel, right? We believe in guardian angels. What if your guardian angel decided to write a tell-all book about your life and publish it? I'd sue him to keep it from being published. I don't want people to see my life. If you miss the rapture, it's going to be worse than that. It's not a book, it's a movie. That kind of got me sobered up, because I was laughing about it. You know, what if a guardian angel write a book? But then I thought, oh, wait, that's what Judgment Day is going to be. That's scary if you're not ready. Because, brother and sister, your book needs to have a lot of blank in it. All that stuff has been washed away. All the temporary stuff washed away. Because what it's going to show for those people who miss the rapture is that all this temporary stuff that was so important to them, that they made their God, that they refused to worship Jesus Christ because it was too important, it's going to show you traded eternal life for all the temporary stuff that you're going through. And then you're going to be tossed into a temporary hell and annihilated. And you'll never have existed. Something to think about, isn't it? So what are you focusing on, friends? God has a vision for your life. He has a purpose for it. If you don't know what it is, friends, you got to find out. We really are running out of time. You've heard that since we were kids, haven't we? I heard, you know, I keep hearing, you know, people say, well, we're one day closer than we ever were. Well, of course we're closer than we ever were. We can't get further from it. But how much darker do things have to get? How much more perverted can they get? And you think, well, it can't get any worse. It always keeps getting worse, doesn't it? But I look at that and say, well, what's the next step? What is the next thing that is going to be like the last straw? I'm going to tell you what it is. What finally brings the judgment is when she turns against his bride. It's when that world out there, that religious world and whatever it is, they turn against you and they start bringing the persecution. He said, no, you're not going to touch my bride. And then we're going to go home. But there's going to be a time, brother and sister, where we still have it pretty good. We still have it easy. Anybody hungry? Anybody have trouble getting to work to church this morning because there's people trying to keep it away? We still have a lot of freedoms. We still have a lot of money. We still have it good. But you realize it could be overnight, and all of a sudden to be a message believer makes you a target. I don't know how it's all going to play out, friend, but when she tries to come against the bride, she is that false church, those false spirits, all that evilness. He's going to raise a standard against it. And the end of that standard is we're going to get a body change. Get ready now, friends. Focus on the eternal now, because when that comes, it's too late. It's too late. Is that all right? You got your vision right this morning? I believe. Let's go ahead and stand. What really gets me when something like this, I had to preach it, I hear, you know, preachers preaching about the word, and it's like holding that accountability. It just encourages the fire out of me. Because look how much God cares. He said, I'm going to tell you how to get this done. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Just quit looking at the temporary things. Your life will change drastically. If you're having troubles with things, change drastically if you can just take what he said this morning and focus on the eternal things. It will, friends. I'm speaking from experience. It's amazing. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do, because our feelings are incredibly powerful. And a lot of times they come from addictions and from places of trauma where we have gone to these feelings to protect ourselves. And what you have to do, friends, is let God be your protector instead of your feelings. Quit protecting yourself. Because that's all it is. You're protecting self. And self is temporary. Except for that part inside. The real you, that eternal soul that's already been birthed, it couldn't any more die than God himself, because it is a part of God. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. All right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you would speak again this morning to encourage us. is that we can recognize that when the word comes, we can identify with what it's saying. We can identify that this is talking about us because our experience, our life shows that we can examine our life and see that this is what is happening. This is the very thing that's been leading our whole life. We can see that you had a vision for us. We can see that you are never going to let us go. You chose us. You've ordained us. And there's nothing can withstand what you have for us, Lord. So all we can do is say, Father, just help us. Help us each one to take you, to take you out your word, to believe, Father, to walk by faith, and Lord, to listen for your voice, to enhance the vision so we can see it more clearly. In your word it says, little by little, day by day, and it says we see through a glass darkly, but glory from glory to glory we see more clearly. That's what we're looking for, those glory to glory is more revelation, listening for your voice, speaking out of the pillar of fire. Father, there are some here that maybe they need that burning bush experience where they meet you face to face. Lord, when they walk away from their change, when they walk away from there with a vision that has changed, radically changes their life, they walk away from there with a new nature inside, Father. If that is the case, please, Lord, before it's too late, get a hold of each one of us, Father. Lord, get a hold of each one we're asking for, that we know there's just so few left, Father. If there's one here, let them come to that, Father. Let them come to it, Father. Let it be so, Father. Pray for this group of people. I pray for the ones who aren't here. I pray for our pastor, Lord Jesus, the responsibility he has. I pray, Lord Jesus, help us to focus on the vision. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.